Is called Turning Erdenet's Data into Dollars by Gareth Dean. Gareth has more than 15 years in mining systems and associated technologies, having worked with major mines, OEMs, and mining technology companies. He's responsible for the future strategic direction of PITRAM products based on client requirements, subject matter, expertise, and market trends. How about a warm welcome for Gareth?
Thanks, everybody. The introduction made me sound pretty special. It was good. Thanks. So I've come over from Perth in Western Australia for the conference. So in the last 3 days, I've had about 6 hours sleep. My jet lag is amazing at the moment. So about 1:30 every morning, my body clock just says, hey, it's time to wake up. And that's about it. That's it for me for the rest of it. So I've been laying in bed just trying to get back to sleep, but it's all fine. I'm sure by the time I'm ready to go home, I'll get a night's sleep and then it'll all start again. So anyway, today I'd just like to speak to you about PITRAM and Erdenet, which is a copper mine in Mongolia. So just to briefly give you an overview, the company I work for is Micromine. Micromine has been around for about 30 years. We're an Australian-based company, but we have 180 employees globally, and we have implementations around 2,000 mines across the world in 90 different countries. So we have around three products. Micromine, which is our premier product, that's been around for about 30 years, which is our exploration, geological modeling, and visualization. We have Geobank, which is our drill hole database, and then we also have PITRAM. So PITRAM is our fleet management solution. We work quite a lot in underground mines, predominantly in underground mining, and we have quite a few implementations in open cut as well. But what we do is we scale quite well, and we can transfer between underground and we can transfer between open cut. On the back of that, we also have quite a lot to do with shift planning, scheduling. And then we have a lot of different modules that just cater to how our product can suit different mines and different environments, different commodities. So Erdenet, about 2015, we were approached by Erdenet to tender for RFI. And Erdenet is the fourth largest copper mine globally, and resides in the northern part of Mongolia, in quite a remote area. And the town that it works on is Erdenet itself. So when we were initially approached, the mine was almost 50-50 owned, 51% owned by the Mongolian government, 49% owned by the Russian government. Since that has now changed, there's some things that have transpired. It is now solely owned by the Mongolian government, and the Russian has no investment there anymore, which now ties them back into China quite heavily. So they began operations back in 1978, so they've been around for a little while, and they have 1.5 billion tons worth of reserves, which is, considering the amount that they push through, they've got a lot of life left in them. So for us, that longevity is fantastic. They have quite a complex processing environment, and they put through around 26 million ton, and they come out with around 530,000 ton of copper concentrate. Of the 80,000 people that live in Erdenet, Erdenet mine itself employs 8,000 people, 10%, roughly 10% of the town of that city. And then 95% of those are nationals as well. So there's not too many internationals, and where they try really hard to ensure that putting back into the community, putting back into the environment, and the money is maintained and stayed there. So for us and their big push, one of those, just to touch back on those people, is empowering those people and ensuring that when they are bringing new technology in, that technology is then pushed into those people. They can feel like they're growing as an employee of the company. The company is strengthening their position, and you know that they have longevity and they have great job life expectancy. So, reducing mining costs. Around 2011, they were really starting to bottom out as far as capital costs. Now, one of our last speakers spoke about having that capital money to invest and reinvest. And around 2011, they were really starting to struggle. And I think that's when some stuff with Russian government started to affect them and whatnot. So they really wanted to put some investing capital that was going to help them reproduce, because for their copper, their processing plant, they wanted to put through another 6 million ton and bring it up to around 30, 31, 32 per year. And then also improve the efficiency of their assets. Their assets were a little bit unknown as far as how well they operated. They knew they were getting their tons through the mill, but as far as how they did it, it was really quite an unknown. And look, it's a scenario that occurs in a lot of mines to this day. It's very, very paper-centric. People fill in load sheets. And from there, that's pretty much it. We struggle with our loading times. We struggle with our fuel usage, our payloads. It's a lot of things there that they really wanted to push for. And this is why they wanted to get the technology back into it. So some of the projects, the outcomes. Again, the equipment, the utilization, the availability, it was quite an unknown. And it was sort of touted around that there was somewhere between 50% and 60% at some stages, which is not a useful operation. It's very inefficient, and so striving that up to somewhere between 80 to 90 was seemed to be an extremely good target to have. Production delays, again, it ties back into that availability and that utilization. But there was no real sense of what their trucks were doing, where they were going, and how well they were operating. And so they really wanted to ensure that their trucks were monitored, were tracked, were taken to the source, to the destination, in the most efficient manner possible. As far as their grade, they were getting the tons through, but the grade that was on the output was quite bad. So they knew they were getting a lot of dilution from their waste, and it was all manually done. So they wanted to ensure that in importing their DXFs and their dig blocks to their loading fleet was then going to be a lot more accurate and give them that much more assurance they were getting the grade through. And then missed dumps as well. It probably ties back in quite well to between the crusher or a waste dump. They weren't too sure how much copper they were actually putting over a waste dump. And it was a very, very, they knew it was happening, but they just couldn't maintain it, and they couldn't control it. So again, we talk about the high-precision GPS. So they have quite a heavy loading fleet for their truck fleet. So they had nine high-precisions implementations that were put in, and we worked with a Carlson, and this is one of the first implementations we had done with that Carlson product. And then we also designed a Dropbox style application that we had implemented on the trucks, on the shovels and the drills as well, so that when engineers were finished their drill block designs or drills and dig block designs, they can upload it and feel safe that it was getting there and the operators were getting that current loading area that they need to get to. Drilling as well. again, the drilling was quite inaccurate, quite inefficient, and they really wanted to bed down on how well they were drilling and optimizing their drill rigs. Again, with the implementation of the high precision, we found that we were improving their meters per hour, and then their efficiency on their drilling and their blasting as well. Excuse me. So they had some Russian trucks, some Bellas trucks, and these were also quite new. We hadn't worked with these ones before. So they wanted to have us integrate to their payload systems, integrate to their fuel, and ensure that we were getting some OEM, some feedback, some data. So we had to basically rewrite an entire interface to this to ensure that we were getting this information for their payload, being able to pass that back to shovels so that the shovels were getting that information as well. Communications. This one was an extremely difficult one as far as, I guess, conditions and land and environment. You can see through here, this is power that had to come up to a mast and antenna because the solar was not quite efficient enough for us there. We had to install, the Erdenet had to completely install these power lines coming through. Huge job. This is a month difference between, this is the same area, a month difference between here to here. And then when we went to install the main antenna for their communications, I think that the environment was down at minus 26 and the wind chill was incredible. The conditions changed so quickly, it was a struggle. Also implemented new base stations across the board, the high precision, it was now a new thing for them as well. And you can see this is, just as I was saying, this is the mast that was had to install on that day when it was freezing cold conditions. And so the preparation and the timing and the project management that went into this was quite heavy as well. You can see we struggled quite a bit in these some fairly less than ideal situations. It was, a very up and back type situation. So as far as pit ramp and the scope of works that we had to do as far as implementing and trying to engage on the project successes, our core product within that in our control room, having to understand and having a really good overview of what their trucks were doing, where they were going, and how they were being operated was quite a new, a new concept for them. And the visualization was something that we really try hard to get them across. The other thing that we did have is that we didn't have Mongolian language, so we had to potentially rewrite all of our software in Mongolian for them as well. So there's a lot of these different challenges in coming through that it was a tough one to do, but I think with the amount of work that we did together and worked together with the company, embedding ourselves and they really took us on board was excellent. As far as their conformance to plan, so they really wanted to ensure that they were moving from a grade block to another grade block to ensure that they were getting conformance on their head grade that was coming through. And so we implemented, which is a scheduling product. And from there that they could basically plan out their entire, month, whatever it may be, their short-term plan. So they can move through and this automatically allocates and reassigns based on what they've done, where they are. This is obviously not for them. This is a bogging one. This is an underground, but it's a very similar style thing. It allowed them to give them insight into the shift and provide them with some short interval control so that they can make decisions and they can change on the fly. Again, something they hadn't done, and they can change and accommodate, whether it's weather conditions or whether it's changing operators. This allowed them to look back against their targets and how they were planning and tracking towards that shift and really change it on a very short scale. So the surface optimizer. So this goes back to our dispatching algorithm, and ensuring that we were then pushing the trucks in the correct algorithm in the correct way that we were. It's it's been quite a new one for PitRam over the last 5 years. In saying that, because we struggle with that underground because we just don't have the communications infrastructure. It's now coming along and getting a lot better for underground. But for open pit, we have you know, excellent wireless communications. And so showing that we can engage trucks to go to where they should be going, the miss dumps was certainly reduced, and then the feed and the mill grade was improved as well. And then the other one that we implemented is with that is that if the operator saw that he wasn't getting the right material from his block, there's some override functionality and we can push them determining where we want to go and not just use that dispatching algorithm as well. So the materials management, this was, one that we use for stockpile and grade control and allowing that we can show stockpile levels. You know, we're under digging, we're over digging on stockpiles and ensuring that we have the right grade that we're coming from. And again, feeds back into reconciliation. So they wanted to reconcile where that material is coming from, where it's going to. And we have some pretty quite simple summaries you can oversee. Or you can drill down into that raw data and show you, your grades and the locations and where they have come from as well. And then the reporting as well. They really wanted to push heavily on reporting, push it out to all different, whether it's maintenance, whether it's production, whether it's senior management, or whether it's guys on the ground. It's across the board. They wanted to ensure that what was happening in the pit was shown to everybody. It was complete transparency across that as well. Back to the training and the engagement of people. This was also a big one for them. They really wanted to empower their local staff. And so we basically embedded ourselves there with I think we had 4 or 5 guys on site for quite a period of time. Training. We would spend day shift, night shift with them, sitting with them, engaging with guys on the ground, engaging with all of our users, and ensuring that they were comfortable in what they were doing. So then when we left site, they could continue to run it without it falling apart. So I guess with this, it was that the transparency that we used, we had to ensure that what Erdenet were being wanted to see and have come from PitRamp, that we also wanted to ensure that they were comfortable in that sign-off and that transparency and the documentation that we had as well. So it looks extremely complex and convoluted as far as the arrows, but it was, with our the correct plan that we have in place, and the steps shown, and we ensured that we followed that plan quite heavily, quite down to a T, especially with our the difference in the language and the language barriers, given that the majority of the people we were working with, English wasn't their first language, so it was a struggle. So documentation, pictorials was quite a heavy thing for us to ensure. That we were getting across and we were getting the right things done. This is our project manager, Laf. So he was really getting into the Mongolian spirit, having a bit of a ride around on a camel. So I guess some key successes from what we've done and what we've shown is that we engaged early, we ensured that we were out there getting involved, getting to know the people, ensuring that they knew us and they felt comfortable with us coming to site. Key partnerships. We ensure that we engage guys on the ground in Mongolia so that we were using local support, things like communications, IT support, that type of thing, ensuring that we were using guys that were familiar to the company, were familiar as far as nationals as well, so teaching and training those guys. That was a big one for us. Having that local support, so we now have a Mongolian office where we have some specialists, we have a regional manager, and we've now also branched out into a Oyu Tolgoi as well, so we're now embedded in Oyu Tolgoi as well, another Mongolian mine. The delivery and the project closure, just going back to that, the project management and being very very driven about where it is that we wanted to get to and how we were going to get there, that was a big one for us, and it worked very well. The hardware integration, ensuring that we were getting that integration back to those Bellows trucks that we had never worked with, getting that fuel, getting the payload, and getting it correct. There was a lot of difficulty to do that, but at the same time, it turned out quite well. And on the back of that, Erdenet also now have a complete suite of Micromine products. So the Micromine, Geobank, and PitRam are all implemented there. So being able to pass through files and transfer knowledge between each one of our products is now quite well done. So I guess some next steps for us. Having to now grow out into a mobile application as well, and showing that we can engage. So guys, everybody with mobile phones and tablets can now see PitRam information on their phones, as far as whether they're on site, whether they're off site, and that comes down to performance. How the shift is operating, how is this particular operator operating? How is this piece of equipment operating? How is this location performing? What sort of tons in? What sort of tons out am I getting? Is my grade good? So this is now, in our hands. We're now pushing that out. So it's certainly going to expand the usage and the integration of PitRam to the wider mining, the wider mine. Again, this is just some screenshots. So you can see this is just allowing people to see, drill down, and get information quite quickly, quite easily, and really, really driving back on that short-term interval control, and that short-term control ensuring that people have it in their hand and they can make changes when they need to make changes. So I guess that's me. So look, I'm hopefully my tiredness hasn't come out too much. I tried to give you a broad overview of how we've done with some challenges, how we overcame those challenges, and look, to a successful outcome. Those challenges are certainly ones that we see not only with isolated countries or whatever it may be. We see those in our Western countries as well, that just some mines just haven't onboarded that technology, and it's still quite a big step change away from them as well. So, we like to think that we could do that quite well, and whatever that technology may be, irrespective of whether it's PitRam or not, but it's certainly the way that we see going forward. And yeah, so thank you very much. And questions?
So is PitRam basically the equivalent to Dispatch?
It is. It's the overall the fleet management solution. So there is Dispatch.
Okay,
embedded.
And for the optimization part, let's say you have a fleet and mm-hmm. you want to add two trucks.
Mm-hmm.
The system is going to tell me the productivity that I'm going to gain, right?
Yes, you can put in parameters that you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, for that calculation, is the system going to do a simulation, or is the system going to use just an average of what any truck produces?
It is based on previous averages, so we work on an LP-DP type algorithm. So
averages, not actual simulation of the fleet running.
It will not forward simulate, but it will take actual information from a truck running between a point to point or between distances.
Okay.
So it's not just an arbitrary 700 meters at X kilometers per hour, X miles per hour. It will look at actuals and then retrain itself to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. So how many years PitRam has been around, and how many sites do you have it installed on?
So PitRam, we've been around for about, I think we're close to 16 years. As far as sites, we've implemented into around 60 globally. Majority of those have been underground hard rock, with around 20 in Australia, given that we have quite a heavy presence in Australia. But we do have offices, Mongolia, Russia, the US, Canada, South Africa. So we have implementations with major miners and lots of different miners as well. So no problem.